Hi, I'm Elisa Lamel, Legal Content Specialist at Krause Financial Services. Joining me today is Dan Flack, Medicaid Coordinator and Head Legal Assistant at Casey Elder Law in Missouri. With over 20 years of experience, Dan has become an expert on guiding clients through the Medicaid application process. As someone who has prepared and submitted hundreds of Medicaid applications himself, Dan has established a reputation among both Kansas and Missouri caseworkers as someone who completes the most comprehensive Medicaid application. Dan strives to help simplify the often complex Medicaid application process for his clients, and today he will be sharing some tips and best practices to help ensure your client's Medicaid application makes it to the finish line. Dan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So the first question I want to dive into right away with you is kind of get a better understanding on your experience with the Medicaid applications. So my understanding is that you complete most of the Medicaid applications for all of your Kansas clients, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So how did you go about learning the proper procedures of completing the Medicaid application, what the agency's expectations were, those kind of things?
Well, that kind of goes back to when this firm started. About 26 years ago, my brother-in-law started this firm because of what we went through with my mother. At the time, 26 years ago, we were trying to place her and trying to find out how to pay for it. And there just wasn't a good resource to go to get assistance with this kind of thing. So when he started the firm, he asked me to come aboard and handle the Medicaid part of it. That started with I read the manuals for both Kansas and Missouri. It's wonderful reading. And then eventually started filing applications. In the beginning, I got a lot more letters back from the state asking for more stuff. And just over the years have figured out what they want and how they want it. And how they want it is important. There's things that if you send them a bank statement showing a debit, some things they'll take that, other things the bank statement's not enough. And so knowing ahead of time what they want is really going to cut down on the time it takes them to process the application.
So it sounds like just kind of accruing that knowledge over each one, learn a little bit more each time.
Yeah, just lots and lots of experience.
So what section of the application do you find clients have the most trouble with completing?
Really all of it. It is not user-friendly. I think that's terrible because of the fact that this is a program that's supposed to be readily available to the elderly individual. But you will need to get, for example, there are questions on the application if you're filing for nursing facility Medicaid that do not apply. They're for different programs. So you see that, you get confused, you don't know what to put. And even worse is the letters that they send after you apply. I would be hard pressed to find an individual who's not gone through this several times who could understand those letters.
So what about a situation where a client receives one of those determination letters and it shows assets on there or a divestment that the client either wasn't aware of or they didn't disclose on the application? What do you do then?
It is quite rare. It did happen once where it was an account that the person didn't even think of because they always thought of it as their brother's account because their name was just on there for convenience in case somebody else needed a sign on it. But generally, something like that were to come up, you would just go back. First, you'd go to the family, check. Maybe they forgot, like this case. Or perhaps if they don't know, you can get more details from the worker, the name of the bank, maybe an account number, anything you can get to just to start as a building block.
So is there ever a situation where clients aren't able to get information to support it?
I've honestly not run into that, fortunately, 25 years. But generally, if you can't access the information, it's not available. I mean, there is a rule in both Kansas and Missouri that says the asset must be accessible. And if you can't get information, you can't get the money.
Understandable. So what about the way that you submit the Medicaid applications? Let's talk about that a little bit. What do you find is the best way? You can do it online. You can do it in person through the mail. What way do you guys submit them?
I'm old fashioned. I like to write it out by hand still. And then I send everything by USPS priority overnight mail so I can track it. There's really filing online is fine. It doesn't really matter. You will eventually need to provide them with supporting documentation, which is why I send it by mail, because it's sometimes, you know, this thick of bank statements and documentation. The only thing I will say is that if we need to meet a filing deadline, so for example, in Kansas and Missouri, as long as it is faxed and received by the last day of the month, it locks in that whole month. So there are times where just to make sure we get benefits for that month, I'll send it by fax and then send the rest of it by regular mail.
Okay, perfect. So it sounds in that way, that's the best way because you have a paper trail of where that application is at every moment.
100%. Because even with that, they still will send you letters saying, we need the stuff you already sent us, and you send it again.
So let's talk about the timing of submitting the application. So in a gifting and a Medicaid annuity situation, you got to time that perfectly. So what tips do you have for timing the submission versus working that sort of spend down strategy?
Well, the timing with those isn't necessarily as tied to the filing as just the ends of months, which is something you always have to be aware of. For example, in Kansas, they look at the free look period on the annuity. So the annuity is an asset until you're past that free look period. So you want to make sure that if you're doing an annuity plan, and you're wanting to get, for example, a penalty to start July 1st, you need to make sure that that contract and that delivery receipt has been received and signed by July 21st. So it's that 10-day free look period in this example is over in July. Beyond that, though, once you know you've locked in your penalty start date, you always have the option of checking the prior quarter box. So you could file in a following month up to 3 months later and still ask them to go back and see if that penalty should have started in any of the 3 months prior to the one you filed in.
Okay, so let's talk about then once the application is received. So I've heard complaints in the past that sometimes caseworkers can get bogged down with plenty of applications coming in. How do you keep track of the deadlines on each of these applications you send in and make sure you're following up with them that the application was even received?
Well, and that's for one, the deadline of making sure, as I always tell everybody, it's a step-by-step process. The first step is getting them eligible or getting the plan eligible to start the penalty if you're doing that. And so for that, you're always watching for the ends of months. Then once you file, as I said, I submit them by priority mail so that I can check the USPS tracking website, print out verification that they got it. Beyond that, I just do follow-up calls. I give them a couple weeks and then start doing calls once a week to check in, make sure there's nothing that they need, nothing that's come up. They will at times send out letters saying we need A, B, and C. And on that letter, there will be a deadline. In Kansas, that typical deadline is 12 days from the date on the letter. So By the time you get it in the mail, you have maybe 8 to 10 days if you're lucky. So you've got to stay on top of those things. And that's why calling every week, I might get alerted to the need for information before they send that letter, or at least earlier in the deadline.
Definitely. So you can start reacting on that quicker. It's definitely a good idea. So what about when you get a decision from a caseworker that you know is incorrect? You have the proof to show otherwise. How do you navigate that? And then how do you also do it tactfully so that you don't anger them or help explain that?
Say, you're assuming that ever happens, but yes, it happens. And all too often, honestly, which is another reason why, again, this is a program that's supposed to be accessible for the elderly who are out of money, and they get a letter saying they're denied or they're approved, but it's a month or two or three after what they should be. They don't know any better. Now I have to work with these caseworkers a lot, and I want them to think well of me when my application comes across their desk. Hopefully that's because they're used to getting a nice, complete, organized application that's easy to process. So I usually try to be really tactful about it. Say, hey, can we talk about this? I'm getting something different and see where we differ. Hopefully we can work that out, because for one, it gets it fixed without needing to go to a hearing or bug a supervisor. Two, now that worker knows better for next time, and that's good for me and everybody else.
So are these situations you're able to resolve in a phone call, or are you sending a letter?
Oh, most often phone calls, explaining to the worker. They usually sheepishly say, well, let me go over this with my supervisor. And then a few days later, you get a letter and it's, wow, what I thought it was supposed to be. Yeah, that's more often than not what happens. Every once in a while, I'll get one where I have to talk to a supervisor to get it fixed, or I'll, every even rarer case, refile it if it's not a deadline issue, just hoping to get a different worker.
Sure. Do you ever just file for or request a fair hearing just off the bat, or do you usually try to work it out with the caseworker first?
No, I always try to work it out. You mentioned deadlines, keep track of. If you get a bad decision, of course, I'll note the deadline, but really hearing's the last thing we want to do. It's more work for us. It's more work for the state. Ideally everybody, and they've told me this personally, they'd rather just resolve it without it, especially because 99% of the time it's just the worker didn't apply something right, or it was something confused, and we all want to just figure it out and get done with it.
Have you experienced any situations where, in that type of situation, actually, where you're educating the caseworker, things that you can do differently on the application to better explain it so they can follow your train of thought in the spend down process? Is there any tips for doing that?
I realize that in Kansas, we send in the hard copy, the bank statements, whatever. Then some probably kid making minimum wage is just standing there scanning them into the computer. So they get into the wrong places, they get all these things. I try to send them organized, but it's what I send and what they see is not always the same thing. Even though I may have on a spreadsheet, or even on the application, that this account has this much money, especially if, for example, it's a statement where it has a balance of $10,000, but there's a check that was written that needs to be deducted. I include the check, I write it on that statement or right under that $10,000. So, you try to, for lack of a better term, idiot-proof these things as much as possible. You can only do so much.
Well, I think that's some really good advice, to try and make sure everything's very streamlined, clean cut, and well explained. Perfect, Dan. Well, what about for any of our viewers that are interested in connecting with you? They're interested in learning more about how to complete a more comprehensive Medicaid application. How can they get in touch with you?
Absolutely. Well, our website is kcelderlaw.com, and you can reach us by phone at 913-338-5713. I will tell you, if you go on our website or if you call us, we'll go over your situation, just ask you some general questions. And if there's something you need, we offer free consultations. You'll come in, sit with an attorney. They'll explain what we can do for you.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your time today, Dan. I really appreciate all of your insight.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.